It says that Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. Now, I'm sure that it wasn't necessary for him to cry with a loud voice, but as you know, there was always lots of people following the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure he wanted to make sure that everybody heard him say these words, "Lazarus, come forth," so that they could see the response and know, of course, who it was that spoke these words. But tonight, dear friends, I'm sure that everybody is in hearing distance, and even the still small voice of our Lord Jesus Christ as he whispers to your heart, you can hear. Shall we turn to Acts chapter 3 and read a few verses? Acts chapter 3. And we read from verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his birth was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man who was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Temple, greatly wondering. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and we will turn to a few other passages, but I'll probably read them to you rather than turn the pages. We have a very happy occasion here with this lame man at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. A very happy occasion for him, because I suppose on this particular day he'd come, as he had done for so many, many years. Well, it says 40 years. If we turn over to chapter 4 and verse 22, it says, "For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown." And so we find that for the most of this man's life, he'd probably been carried by his family or his friends to this gate outside the temple, and there they sat him down, and I suppose with his hand out, or maybe he had a box, or maybe he had a hat, hoping that people would fill it, and so that he could have something to keep him going. And over this very long period of time, this was the procedure day in and day out. And I'm not sure whether it was a happy procedure for him, because, well, he knew he couldn't walk, he was like that from birth. He knew he had to depend on others to take him to the gate of the temple. And perhaps there was a problem when somebody never turned up. And so every day he went through this situation. But you know, dear friends, and I haven't got much time, so I have to really go over this quickly, but this man, he started off the day, should I say, you know, not very good. Not very good. But praise God, he ended it well. And I might say at this point in time, if you perhaps haven't started the day well, especially those who haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, well, you can end the day well tonight, and you can be happy within your soul, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. It is a happy occasion. It was a happy occasion for this man. It was a happy occasion for me when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. It was a happy occasion, I know, when our daughter came to us one day and said, I'm saved, and she had a big smile on her face and she was happy within her heart. And if you look back to the occasion when those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior, it was a very happy occasion. And you know, from that time on, well, we realized just what the Lord Jesus Christ means and what He can do and how He can change the situation. Those of us who are safe, sometimes we start the day off badly too sometimes. But praise God, we can go to the Lord Jesus Christ and bring our problems before Him, and He can change that for us. This man, he came on this occasion and he sat at the gate as usual. And here came Peter and John, the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, maybe, you know, sometimes these people are very, very well informed as to what's going to happen, what's going to come about. And he may have heard that Peter and John were coming. And when Peter and John came, of course, it says he asked an alms of them, or he begged from them. Peter and John, as the Bible tells us, fixed their gaze on this man. And they said to him, "Silver and gold," said Peter, "have I none. But such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible tells us that immediately his ankle bones received strength. And he rose up, he leaped up, and he walked. I don't know who said it, but somebody had said, and I wrote it in my Bible, that he asked alms and he got legs. Well, I'm sure he was happy, very happy, because that transformation had taken place. But you know, dear friends, there is something else that I want you to realize, and that's why I mentioned the verses that Paul read as well, that it was not really because of Peter and John that all this happened. You know, they could just speak these words or say to the man. But it was really in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that all this was done. But I'd like to just briefly take you back for a second to another occasion where in Mark's Gospel chapter 2, there was another lame man. And friends of his, four friends of his came, and if you remember the story, they uncovered the roof and they let this man down right into the middle of the room where our Lord Jesus Christ was. Now Peter and John, when this man said, well, asked an alms of him, well, they saw his immediate need, you see. But they saw another need too. They knew that, well, maybe he was hoping to get some money, maybe he was hoping to get some food to carry him over to the next day, but they saw another need, and the need was that this man really needed to receive, well, strength in his legs so that he can walk again. And so they said, "Silver and gold we do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Well, you see, that is as far as Peter and John could go. But if you take your mind back to the story of the lame man in Mark's Gospel chapter 2, here was this man coming down and hoping to receive a miracle, to receive his, well, his legs back. But the Lord Jesus Christ saw his need and saw his other need as well. But he saw much deeper than Peter and John had seen, you see. And he said to that man, he didn't say rise up and walk first of all, and though the Lord Jesus Christ did meet that first need as well, that they thought, but he said unto the man, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now isn't that wonderful? Now Peter and John couldn't do that, you see. They were only the vehicles. They could tell the man that he should be saved, and in the name of Jesus they could pray for him to be healed. But you see, they did not have that authority to forgive the man his sins, but our Lord Jesus Christ did. And on that occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ saw that man's need. The need he needed most was to have his sins forgiven. And he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Friends, tonight, perhaps you may have many needs tonight. And don't we all, in this day and age? Every day we find that we need something or another. But the need, if we haven't got the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior, that is the thing we need most of all. We cannot give it to you, I cannot give it to you, like Peter and John. I can just bring you the message, the good news, the gospel, which is the good news of God's salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ, well, it is between you and Him for you to trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Well, when this happened, when this miracle happened with Peter and John, all the people came and gathered around in Solomon's porch, and they started to converse with them, and I suppose they expected to hear a few more things. But then I see Peter and John really shocked the people then, you see. Because then he really spoke to their hearts and he said, look, why are you making such a lot of fuss? In other words, I'll just read this verse. And Peter, when he saw it, answered the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? It is not us. He says, as though we, by our own power or holiness, we made this man walk. He says, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. And then for the sake of time, we go down to verse 19. And after a little bit of discourse with these people concerning the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, he said in verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Well, for this man, it was a very happy occasion. And I'm sure that he didn't go back to the gate, I'm sure, to start begging all over again. But we find that this man, it says here in verse 11, and as the lame man who was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. In other words, he went up with him. And this man, I'm sure, was so happy within himself that he was able to walk. You know, dear friends, it reminds us of ourselves. When we were born, just like this man, he couldn't help it, he was born lame. We were born in sin. Romans tells us, chapter 5, that we, and verse 12, that as for by one man sin entered into the world, so death passed upon all men. But you know, we praise God that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 it says, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So like this lame man, you see, we were born into the world, sinners by nature. But like this lame man, we can be happy at the end of the day, because God has made that provision. Our Lord Jesus Christ, having paid the penalty for sin on Calvary's cross, and by simply putting our faith and trust in Him, we can be saved for time and for all eternity. Tonight, dear friends, let me tell you that this salvation, well, as you know, Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. This salvation is without price. Some people would like to pay, you see. Some people know, well, perhaps they can't pay, but there's, well, perhaps something to give. But this salvation cannot be bought, because it was paid for on Calvary's cross by our Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, dear friend, it is a free gift to you and I. The cost to God can never be measured. It cost him his only son, our Lord Jesus Christ. But to you and I, It is God's free gift. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "For Christ hath also suffered for us, for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." This salvation is without price. It is not only without price. Perhaps we may have someone here tonight, or we know some people who say, "Well, surely, you know, I do a lot of good work. Surely the good things that I do, God can't ignore this." I've heard people, or I've had people say it to me. But the Bible tells us that salvation is without works. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast." Romans chapter 4 verses 4 and 5 says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." These verses are important. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us by with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace." Titus chapter 3 and 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us." It is not by works, dear friend. If it was, I don't think I'd be here tonight. If it was by price, I don't think I would be here tonight. And dear friends, it is without waiting. Just like this miracle, when Peter and John said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk," it says immediately his ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up. It is without waiting. If you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, dear friends, that very moment you do that, the message has been received in heaven, and there's joy amongst the angels in heaven over one sinner that repented. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 tells us, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is God's day of salvation." And if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ in your, as your Savior, this very moment, you don't have to ask the question, "Am I saved?" Because you will be saved. God's word says so. The moment you ask him to come into your heart, your name will be recorded in heaven's book of life. Why? Because it is without fail. This salvation is without fail. John chapter 6 and verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." Isn't that wonderful? To know that if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not going to tell you to come back tomorrow or to come back next week. You know, sometimes we do have the tendency to put people off and say, "Oh, you know, just a bit busy tonight, just a bit busy, you know, perhaps next week," or something like that. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Him that cometh unto me now, I will in no wise cast out." Not only is it without fail, but it is without end. Dear friend, I am rejoicing tonight. I am happy tonight, because I know that the day that I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, my name was recorded in heaven's book of life. And it's there to stay. And one day I'm going to see him face to face. And if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect one, who promised you salvation, you can be sure that your name will be in heaven's book of life. Oh, you may, you know, sort of waver in between. But the Lord Jesus Christ is always faithful. And Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So his salvation is without end. And that's wonderful, dear friend. If you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can only tell you my experience. If you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, from that very moment, you'll experience the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ can bring to your heart. And then, of course, later comes the baptism. And as we were witnessed tonight, a brother who had put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, following him in the step of obedience in baptism. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that later on.